We're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting annual meeting with FMC, Agricultural Solutions, one of our sponsors here of our coverage of NAFB. And with me is Bentley Curry with FMC. And we're going to talk about some of the product solutions that FMC offers for farmers, particularly for some of the crops that we don't talk about a whole lot in the Midwest. Not much corn and soybeans, but more of the cotton, peanuts, and rice. Right, Bentley?
Absolutely. FMC's in all of those markets. The cotton market this year introduced a new product called Display Cotton Defoliant. It's a harvest aid material. And what we do is after the cotton is mature, we put it on and we take the leaves off the cotton. It normally takes two applications of product to do that. We use Display along with a bowl opener in the first application, and then after that, we come back with another FMC product called AIM to finish. We call it taking the skirt off the cotton, and that finishes it up, and it gets it ready in about 10 to 11 days for the harvesting equipment to come into field and begin picking the cotton. So it's a new product. It has some advantages over older materials, in that it will take off second or regrowth. That's the new juvenile stuff that comes on typically after the plants are mature, and then you get a rain shower, and then the new growth comes on. Older materials will not remove that plant growth. So Display does have the ability to do that for us.
Well, let's talk about weed resistance, because we got weed resistance everywhere, and it started in the South. So what does FMC offer for growers solutions for weed resistance?
Got a whole host of Authority brand products, depending on what part of the country you're in. In my area, typically we're using Authority Elite and Authority MTZ, and that kind of is dependent on your soil type. The heavier soils, the more clay content soils, we typically use the MTZ, and on lighter, more silty type soils, we use the Elite. And yes, the pigweeds kind of came down river. We want to say they probably came down river from Missouri, because we can track them. You know, we farmed some fields behind the Mississippi River levee, and that's where we began moving with a combine into our levee protected areas, and we began seeing them there. And you know the dynamics of a pigweed. One pigweed this year, 1 acre of pigweed next year, 40 acres the following year, and you've lost control. These products bring control back to the table for us and give us some long-term protection during the growing season. So they're tremendous products. They'll fit into the farmer's program well with his crop rotations. And we have a lot of crop rotations. You alluded to the peanuts earlier. As that acreage expands, we have to have something that we can do the rotations. In the Midwest, you're looking usually at two crops to rotate. But we could easily do cotton, corn, soybeans, rice, sweet potatoes. All of those crops could be in a rotation in the Mid-South.
Well, traditionally, you got the cotton-peanut rotation in the South, but we saw a whole lot less. We saw a whole lot less acres of cotton planted this year. Tell me about that in your area, what we're seeing as far as cotton production is concerned.
To kind of give you an idea, Louisiana has parishes instead of counties.
Right.
In the parish in which I live, 10 years ago, we had 125,000 acres of cotton. This year, we had 8,000 acres of cotton. We've gone from 5 gins in the area to 1 gin. We now haul cotton over 100 miles to that gin to feed the gin. We're capable of doing that because we now module our cotton, so it's much easier to haul. We're not using trailers anymore. But with new varieties of cotton that we grew this year in the Mid-South, we had cotton to produce full bales to the acre. So I don't think in the future, we're going to see 13.5 million acres of cotton grown across the cotton belt. We don't have to have that many acres to grow cotton anymore because these new varieties produce so much per acre. And of course, weed control is part of that program, too. So,
and quality, too, which was falls into that first product you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're looking at Display does not increase or decrease micronair, which we're talking about strength of the cotton. It doesn't affect the staple of the cotton. And it certainly improves the grade of the cotton because it does not give you green staining in the cotton from this juvenile growth. So it brings a lots of pluses to the table for us.
Quality is so important for the cotton producers right now. Bentley, I'd like you to tell me just a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background and your, you know, how long you've been with FMC and you know, just what you've done in your life.
Okay. Well, I
well,
I tell you, I haven't traveled very far. I live on the farm I was born on. So my travel has not been extensive. But I've been an agricultural consultant for 40 years. And basically work in the Mid-South. I worked the private sector dealing with farmers for most of those years. And for about 20 years, I've done contract work, specialty work for FMC. And that's what I still do today. About 6 months out of the year, I do work for FMC. My farm, my personal farm, I do agritourism on it. And we will have about 50,000 guests at our farm this year from pumpkin patch through Christmas trees. So we do fun things at our place.
That's interesting. Well, in that 40 years, Bentley, what talk about the changes that you've seen and how, you know, as far as agriculture is concerned, as a consultant, talk about how things have changed in 40 years.
Well, I can remember when Carmex herbicide came on the market and we banded that herbicide in a narrow band. And at that time, we only were worried about controlling grass, particularly crabgrass. And it wasn't too long after that, we began to see weeds show up in the field. We had never had weeds in cotton fields before. And the South was all cotton at that time. If we grew any other crop, it was strictly incidental. The soybeans usually were for hay. The corn may have fed some animals on the farm. So we've gone from big cotton to very little cotton in the Mid-South and a multi-crop culture. We've gone from banding herbicides to broadcast herbicides. We've gone from cotton gins at gin 6 bales an hour to cotton gins at gin 75 to 100 bales per hour. And we've gone from cotton being picked by human beings, hand-picked, to six-row pickers that module the cotton and get it ready to go harvest, and, you know, at a price of nearly $750,000 per machine. So there's been great changes in agriculture in our area since I was a kid.
Breaking it down into decades, let's say, in the what decade would you say that you've seen the biggest changes? You've gone from the biggest changes from X to Y.
I think probably the 80s brought about the biggest change in agriculture in our area. What we started to see, we began to see farmers precision leveling land for drainage purposes and irrigation purposes. Probably in Louisiana now, we're 65 to 70% precision leveled and close to that and irrigated. So the weather doesn't affect us as much as it once did. And then we began to see broad use of herbicides in the fields. And then our pesticides begin to change with the advent of the pyrethroid insecticides. And then the next big thing at the tail end of the 80s, we began to see the GMOs come on the scene. So it's been a tremendous change through the 80s, and it's just moving faster than most people can keep up with it.
Well, you talked about precision leveling. What about the adoption of precision technology and equipment in general? I mean, that seems like it's been really, really boomed in the last decade.
Oh, it really has. That a man can take a tractor and drive around his field one time and come back anywhere he wants to start in the field with his planter or whether he's rowing up, and drop that planter, and he has perfectly straight rows. And when it finishes the field, he has no point rows in his field, no matter how the field's shaped. I mean, it's amazing. But I do expert witness work, too, in crop damage. And what's really kind of interesting to me, used to I had to track down trailer truck loads of seed or cotton going to the gin or the elevator to get my weights and all those kind of things. Now the farmer's got an onboard computer. He punches that computer on when he starts in the field, and when it's all over with, he hands me a colored sheet that shows exactly where the symptoms were the worst in the field with the yields. And it makes it, I mean, just life is really easy for me to do those kind of things now.
Did you ever imagine this?
Not in my wildest dreams did I. I remember when they were burying cables underneath the rows at Stoneville, Mississippi for guidance system on tractors. So we've gone from that to this.
How? What do you think is going to hold? The future is going to hold. How can it get better?
I mean, how can you even imagine? How can you imagine? I think what we'll see is tractors that are being operated without an operator. I think that's the next thing we'll see.
Well, great. Bentley, is there anything else you'd like to add that you would like to talk about?
Well, I think that agriculture still offers probably some of the greatest opportunities of any industry in our country. They are varied now as compared to where I started. When I started, it was lots and lots of hands-on. There's a lot less hands-on today. So I think as we move forward in technology, you're going to see there's going to be new fields open up we don't even know about today, but we still have to feed all the people, and we've got to clothe the people.
That's correct. That's where the cotton comes in.
Yeah. It is a great industry.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bentley. It's been a pleasure talking to you here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting annual meeting in Kansas City. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.